Jeff Cameron Show, Radio at 93.3, Real Talk Radio at War Chant TV. Happy Libations Friday, Loosey Goosey edition of the program. I'm Jeff. That is Tom, Director Matthew in the house as well. You can find us on Twitter at Jay Cameron Show. Here's hoping that you and yours had a wonderful Thanksgiving. No family fights, no nonsense at the dinner table. Everybody did well. Food came out just right. Got to spend quality time together. Maybe you watched a little football, threw the ball around the yard, had a good time. I don't know. That is my hope for you. And, yeah, I did exactly that. You feeling better, Big Shooter? You all right?
Yeah, there's a little bit of congestion still, but I feel like a human being connected to the earth. You know how that fog works when you're not up to speed.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. Man, I missed you. It's FSU Florida week. I wanted to get in on the action at some point.
Yeah, the FSU Florida week is always a good one. And then and I missed having you here, buddy. It was fun. Matthew and I held it down and was looking forward to this afternoon's conversation with you about the game because I don't know about you. I let you rest and get healed up.
But, thank you for that.
But yeah, but I but what I mean is that I kind of, as the week went along, felt better and better about the game, and I think that's true. I still do. I think logic seems to dictate here that Florida State is going to go win this football game and maybe even going away. And, you know, the reason I say that is, again, do I think Florida State is an infinitely better football team, talent for talent, on the roster? No, but we watch games, and we understand that talent is a big part of it, but so is other aspects of how you prepare a football team and how they feel about themselves and where they're at from a confidence standpoint, especially kids. We talk about kids all the time being, and it's relative, they're young men is a better way of saying it, as opposed to paid professionals, are always subject to the whims of emotion. And I bring that up a lot. You see it in college football all the time. And you know, I can't imagine the headspace that Florida's in is a good one with the amount of guys scrambling to decide whether they want to stay at that program going into next year, whether or not they need to get their name into the transfer portal. There it is. There it is. In addition, you know, I got to imagine an awful lot of coaches, as Ira and I were talking about, just scrambling to find jobs. You know, that's the other part of this. When the ship begins to sink and the rats flee and everybody's looking for dry land, typically what ends up happening is and by definition, it's almost like a, you know, live and let live or live and let die sort of attitude. It's sort of, I got to go. I got to go look out for me. I've got to go figure this out. Where are me and my family going to be coaching next year? Because this thing has, you know, the plane is crashing to the side of the mountain here. You have an offensive line coach, a defensive coordinator, a head coach, all fired. So there's no getting around the fact that you've got to go. And so, you know, I just wonder how that translates, what that feels like. You know, that's projected. A lot of times that desperation, that sort of confusion, that frustration, that's all projected in the you know, body language, the tenor, the tone of practice, I got to imagine, has been different. It's not to say teams haven't rallied in the history of the game, and especially in rivalry games, and found a measure of pride deep within themselves in which they play for themselves and or the guy next to them, and they care, and they say, hey, who cares what's going on with these coaches? Let's go out and win this game. I mean, I could picture it being a dogfight in that way. So I'm not saying slam dunk, no problem. Florida State rolls down in Gainesville and wins big. But I think, again, going back to what I said to start the show here, logic seems to dictate that Florida State's in a much better place going into this game than Florida could possibly be in. And if that's the case, and they're buttoned up, and they have been, I mean, the game plans lately have been very, very good. They've played to our strengths. They've helped avoid the weakness. Haven't always executed them well, and we're going to have hiccups because it's a group that's lacking in some areas. But I think if they're buttoned up and focused and intense, more importantly intense, I think early in this game, you set the tone with a chin check. You let Florida know you're here all afternoon, that it means something to you. You bring it physically, and you fight. I think if you can get out to a lead here, you could see this be a rocking chair game.
Yeah, this is actually not too dissimilar from what our NFL team is going to be facing on Sunday, the Bucks and the Colts. That Colts team will run the ball, and run the ball some more. You need to be up to the challenge to stop the run and some of the things they will do off of. Again, 1st and 10, trying to run the football. If I'm Florida this week, and it is Richardson who starts, and there are now conflicting reports I'm seeing maybe today with Emory Jones, but whatever it is.
He's apparently back, but, you know.
Well, but he's also a dual-threat quarterback. Right. So if I'm Florida, I'm down a bunch of staff members, and we've got to put in a game plan. And I'm, you know, we're a team that could run for 2,500 yards for the season.
Yeah.
You just run the damn ball. You run the hell out of it. And you put linebackers and safeties in conflict off of that very thing. That's what you do. And if Florida State is game to stop it, then so be it. If they're not, well, then you're in business if you're a Florida Gator on a Saturday. But the thing to me is, you can count on us, and you hit on it. The headline for this team at this point is you can count on us to be buttoned up, ready to go, and intense every weekend. You don't have to worry about, oh, man, I hope they don't lay an egg today. They're not going to.
No, they'll show up. They may not win, but they'll show up.
They might not win, but they are going to be the best version of what they can be. They're going to show up, and they're going to be ready. I don't know that Florida will be, so I think that already is a big advantage, huge advantage when it comes to trying to handicap this game.
Thanks, Jeremy. Appreciate the contribution to what we do. I wish you and yours a great Thanksgiving. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. He writes that he hoped that the two of us did, and I think we did. Yeah, so absolutely. I know I did. Yeah, appreciate your kindness there. So Gator Kirk, I want to answer this question. It's a laid back show today. It's Libations Friday. If you're out and about shopping, listening to 93.3 Real Talk Radio,
kind of like a nebulous day, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Well, the game's on, there's a lot of stuff going on, but we're just having a conversation here for a couple of hours, get you prepared for Florida State and Florida. By the way, Tom and I tomorrow have decided to join forces yet again, as we have for the better part of 15 years now.
That is true. Yeah. That's a little spooky.
Yeah. We're going to, yeah, there it is, right there on the screen if you're watching on 93.3, on War Chant TV. Little pregame chat. Little pregame chat at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Maybe mimosas involved. I don't know. Maybe mimosas involved.
It could be.
It could happen.
Is there a way you can make them? We're going to have to get the food coloring because you don't want it to be orange, you know?
No. Well, put it in a dark glass and you don't notice it. But
mix the colors up a little bit.
Just a few little something
here. Yeah, yeah.
But I'll answer questions a little bit more today. We will, if you're on the chat, because that kind of dedication is greatly appreciated. The fact that you're on the chat listening to us right now on a holiday weekend or holiday back end of the week, that we really do appreciate that. Gator Kirk, I want to answer this, though, because I do think it's pertinent. A lot of times when you see these percentages and you kind of scratch your head. So he writes, still don't understand how ESPN FPI gives FSU a 27.2% chance to win. So during the course of the football season this year, I've had to, with a number of teams, and that's why there's a benefit to watching the games. You know, it's like if you think about the movie Moneyball and, you know, Brad Pitt's character when they're talking about, you know, he doesn't even watch the games. He's just looking at numbers. And it's like, it lacks romanticism, right? You got to watch the game. It is still played by humans. Well, Florida's power numbers, Tom, you go back and look at the season right after 31-29 to Alabama, in which they outgained the Tide and really probably could have won that game, frankly. They were 13th in the country at the time of that game. They actually moved up after that game, after a loss at home, to number 10 in the country. At no time did you think in that moment that loss would portend of problems at the back end of the schedule. If anything, you thought that bolstered their chances to maybe rise up and beat Georgia out of the East, maybe be a 10-win team, right? And the reason I say that is right after that game, they destroyed Tennessee 38-14. It was a non-competitive game, and it's a better version of Tennessee this year than we've seen. So you thought, okay, well, unfortunately, Florida's still pretty good.
As we were going 0-4, you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah, we were in the midst of all that, right? But again, getting back to the point that I'm going to make here, Kirk, about why the numbers are skewed. Florida at that point was very highly rated. If you're just looking at power ratings, Florida was a very highly rated team, as one would suspect. They had blown out South Florida. They narrowly lost to Alabama, who at the time was the number one ranked team in the country. They clobbered Tennessee. So there were no hints of problems. And then they lost a penalty-filled, crazy special teams touchdown. They lose by 7 to Kentucky. That was the first, perhaps, indicator that, that's weird. But there was still nothing definitive that said they were bad. And remember, at that time, Kentucky was ranked as well. Kentucky was still a good team.
Yep.
So there are still no indicators halfway through the season that Florida's about to fall off a cliff and that they should really be graded out accordingly, right? So they're still well thought of at that point. Now here's where it starts to go haywire. They beat Vanderbilt 42-0 the next week. So again, nebulous result, whatever. Well, they go to LSU, and it's an LSU team that announced they had fired Ed Orgeron, that the train was off the tracks at LSU.
Right, that even though the public knew about it after the game, the thought was the players in the locker room
everybody
already
knew about it.
Yeah, the program
basically
knew.
Been talked. Yeah. And LSU proceeds to run a counter, I think it was 15 times for 309 yards. It was unreal. It reminded me of last year's Florida State-Notre Dame game. Just a simple counter over and over and over.
Counter trap.
Yeah, that was all it was. And they lose that game 49-42, and now Florida fans begin to clamor for a change at defensive coordinator. But again, I don't know that in mid-October everybody thought it's over for Florida. You thought, well, season's not quite going the way you had planned because of this Kentucky-LSU thing, but not the end of the world. Then they get beat down, as you knew they would, by Georgia. Where it comes off the tracks is South Carolina on November the 6th. So this month, in the month of November, you can't get beat 40-17 by South Carolina. It can't happen. It can't happen. That team, player for player, is ass compared to Florida, and that's the first time that you realize they had quit. So if you were going to do power ratings at that point, Florida would fall out of the top 25. My point is, as a gambler, I now look at Florida's stats that tell me they're one thing, but my eyes tell me they've quit. So the stats tell me they're a decent team in some areas, and that if I'm matching up teams, I'm done looking at numbers. Tom and I did a preview on how to bet the state of Florida.
Yeah.
And in that preview, prior to the South Carolina game, we said, now look, the numbers tell you Florida should kill South Carolina, but I'm watching the game. I know this team has quit. They're done.
Yeah, our advice to the gamblers run from a pregame bet and then watch beyond the first drive because anybody could put 15 plays together.
Right.
Look at us last year. Yeah. Look at us in this town. Start of every game. It's like, man, that's clean. Okay, wonderful. We started the season, James Blackman against Georgia Tech. You're like, oh, we back, baby.
Yeah.
We're back.
Nope.
Next thing you know, and it was this. It played that way all the time. The NFL happens this way. A lot of games on Sundays. We're like, man, that was clean. Well, you give an NFL head coach or offensive coordinator a week to prepare, they're going to do some things. All right, so kick in your live wagers towards the end of the first quarter because let's see at that point. And the score at the end of the first quarter, you go, oh, my God. The score at halftime, I've told this story now three times. Gene and I wrapped up on the postgame show, which you can catch tomorrow, 10 to 15 minutes after the game's over on War Chant TV.
Boom.
And Florida's getting destroyed. I think it's 30-10 at the break. Something like that. I said, babe, I'm going out. I got to go watch this game. I need to go watch Florida play South Carolina in the second half because they're done.
Yeah.
It's over.
They quit. It was over then. Yeah, and they get blown out and they lose 40-17. Then they give up 52 points to an FCS school in Samford and 42 of those in the first half. Again, it's the train's off the track. They lose an overtime game against a bad Missouri team. They only scored 23 points, even with the benefit of overtime, against a Missouri defense that couldn't stop many glorified high school teams from scoring points this year. So, again, all the evidence in the last few weeks tells you that Florida State should feel pretty good going into this game. But to answer your question, Kirk, the stats, the numbers themselves would say that Florida's recruited better, Florida has better players position by position, and Florida's overall statistics in a lot of categories is better than that of Florida State's. So that FPI does not take into account watching the games. That's my point. Watch the games.
Yeah, for example, Gene had done this feature for years and years. It was the matchup analysis that's on warchant.com, and Austin took it over this year. Like, that's a tough assignment.
Oh,
because if you're saying Florida State offensive line, Florida defensive line, Florida State, ends
the
versus linebackers.
Say Florida's the better team,
so
period.
How do you write that article? Because you're like, well, they don't have coaches. They don't have any coaches, and they don't care to be there.
Yeah.
So that's a tough assignment, and that's how you arrive at these weird numbers. Like in some books, having a 10-point spread on Sunday.
So quickly that happened, and of course it got bet down to 2 like that because people watch the games. Again, you've got sort of a peripheral, overhead, distant sort of view of teams when you're not immersed in watching either the region or the conference or the state. So, you know, this is where you can take advantage of a place like Las Vegas. Now, most well-run sports books in Vegas, there's going to be a guy behind the scenes in that moment who's like, what are you doing? no, we're not pricing this as Florida as 10 point. Are you insane? If anything, it's a pick 'em. You know, like, you're going to, but.
Yeah, if we're going to get to 10, it's because the public's going to push it that way. Right. Let's lower this number and see where they go.
It's insane. It's insane. And it happened rapid fire. The extreme isn't usually 8 points. Where you can take advantage of those first Sunday numbers that come out, usually you might be able to get an over-under that's off by 3 or 2. You might be able to get, a total by 3 or 2. You might be able to get a side that's a point and a half to 2 points off. You rarely, if ever, see 8 to 10 points off on a side. I was blown out by that.
Right, but the hard part is you say all that and these are all correct statements. But when you're trying to speak definitively about Florida and Florida State tomorrow...
Yeah, it's a weird game, man.
Well, it's still in Florida to be that good enough team where you go, well, better players, and looks like they simplified things. And because they simplified things, and they don't have the distraction of Cousin Eddie, you know, like all these... You could see it where, all right, they put it together on one day because they rallied around whatever position coaches they like that are still on the sidelines, and they did what they did well for the first month of the year.
Right, right.
So it's still in them to do that.
Yeah,
and so you've got to
be
cautious about that. I feel like we're going to win the game too. But would it stun me if Florida played a very simple game and the run-pass splits were 80-20 to the run and they were able to establish some things off that, put our linebackers in conflict and take advantage of those things? Next thing you know, it's a close loss. It wouldn't stun me if that's what happened tomorrow.
There's two ways of saying that too. Like, it wouldn't stun you. It'd be bitterly disappointing, but it wouldn't stun you. Just like it wouldn't stun you if Florida State wins 38-7.
It would not.
No.
I mean, you could see that this thing could be a machine and they're not ready to play. By the time they decide they want to play, it's 1:30 and they're like, the hell with it. Like, that key drive that they needed goes awry and here we go.
First quarter's big in this game. You know, you always want to get off to a good start, so it's sort of a banal thing to say. But what I mean is that every team wants to get off to a good start. I understand that. But when psyche is at play, when their emotions are at play, when people are fragile, you know, early in the season, I said it to Tom once, if I said it a million times, right? Florida State needs something good to happen to it. You know, we were talking about that at the beginning of the year because coming off the last few years, where would the confidence be derived from? They had no evidence that they should believe in themselves other than, you know, you're telling them to. Well, that's not the same as executing, winning, and beating somebody. And so when things would go wrong early this year, it kind of was reminiscent of what we had seen. Now they've had some things go right. They stayed bought in. That's to their credit. And now they're not so fragile. If they give up a touchdown early, they don't quit. They fight. We saw that against North Carolina down 10-0, and yet they kept bringing it, and they ended up dominating that game. So that Florida State now no longer needs early in games for good things to happen to it. But you know who does tomorrow? Florida. Florida needs good things to happen to it early at home.
Deflected pass at the line of scrimmage.
Something weird,
lands
right?
In the linebacker's lap. Yeah.
Florida does. Florida State won't bat an eyelash if they get down 7-0 in this game, I don't believe, because they've given us evidence to the contrary. The problem is, you know, you don't ever want to provide that belief. You don't want to give that team who has some talent a belief that they can win that game and finish their season on a high note. So the first quarter will be big here. Can Florida State get out to a lead? Can Florida State get some stops early and maybe put a drive together? Because I want Florida, who's inclined to lay down right about now, to feed into that psyche. I want Florida to get down 7-10-0 and go, what are we doing? Yeah, this has been a cluster you-know-what for the last 5 weeks.
We came out humming last week, both halves.
Well, that script last week was the best of the year. Best of the year script in one quarter, the first quarter against BC on the road. That was a beautiful, beautiful script. Before we break, thank you, Gabriel. Hey, Jeff and Tom, since we are approaching the end of the season, I wanted to give a quick thanks. This was my first season really finding War Chant and all of its content, this show being my favorite. Well, thank you so much, Gabriel. Appreciate you. And thanks for listening and watching. And more of the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV, in a moment.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And a good day to you, James. As you have said, I'm glad you had a happy Thanksgiving. It was around this date in 2012 I listened to my first JCS broadcast. Next year, this time, my JCS Platinum Bohica. Go Noles, beat Florida. That is true. Woo! Appreciate you kindly, sir. Seth, appreciate you too. Yeah, line didn't move to minus two until Mullen was fired. Money didn't move it. Crazy. Yeah, it is kind of crazy, by the way. Woo! But if you know, so what's weird is, yeah, I'm friends with Bud as well, Ryan. There was a posted minus 10. It did come out.
Yeah, it just wasn't on the Hard Rock.
It was not on the, yeah.
Come on.
You could find,
let's go Hard Rock.
You had to go quick. Eric, happy Friday to you, and thanks for wishing us a happy Friday as well, and to your continued support of what we do. Let's get fired up, Noles Nation. Spear them Gators tomorrow. Yep. Woo! Yeah, you guys, good hugs all around. Can That's I get some what hugs? What are we doing out here? Hugs to everybody. Woo! Woo! Have we had a punter worth a damn since Gano? I find myself envious of every other punter we face. Time to set up a satellite camp in Australia. Well, our current punter is from there, and he's good, actually.
Yeah, he's good when you're on the other side of the 50 and or in a position to pin somebody back.
Yeah, he's not elite, but he's decent.
But he'll get you, you know, inside the 15-yard line. He's good at that.
So, Ryan, by the way, you make me laugh because I understand why you feel the way that you do, and also thanks for your contribution. Okay, so what makes me laugh about this observation is that it's born out of not just some inadequacies we've had at the position, but because this is a league of elite quarterbacks and elite punters. Sweet Jesus, everybody we face has a badass that punts the ball and then and or a league-ready NFL quarterback. It's insane. So that's what the ACC is accordingly. It is a bunch of people that have punters that are better than ours typically and or elite level quarterback play.
Well, and the frustrating thing with our punting game, when you're not trying to pin and coffin corner the opponent, which we do very well, but it's that this kid, our punter, shows the ability to boot it 65 yards. And I feel like, and just maybe it's the presentation, you know, we're talking about he can kick with either foot. You try to do the rugby thing. Yeah, you try to do this. You try to do that.
The either foot thing actually pissed me off.
And he's done it in recent weeks.
It just became silly. Like, I don't care that you, that's fine. If it works, it works. And at times it has.
But Mastromano can kick the snot out of it. You know, there are times where you're like, well, why don't we just do that? I get out kicking your coverage. I get that whole thing. It's not just a joke about a husband and wife.
Yeah.
Like, okay, it can happen in some places. But you know what? 65 yards sometimes is not a bad thing. Force them to return it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you. By the way, updates, if you're out and about, if you were forced to do the unthinkable, which is to engage in Black Friday and actually have to add to the level of consumerism that is uncomfortable about town today and across the country.
It's not reflected in the market.
Anyway, yeah. Then what I would tell you is that it's 16-3. Boise State currently leads ranked San Diego State. By the way, ranked San Diego State is 10-1, 6-1 on the Mountain West, and there they sit trailing 4-loss Boise State 16-3 late in the second quarter.
Are you feeling anything in the air for the Cincinnati game? I don't know why. Every time I look at it on the slate.
You want East Carolina?
I'm not necessarily.
You are going to vote against Cincinnati, who's trying to lock in a playoff appearance?
Something's wrong today.
Are you worried about Dowdy Fricklin Stadium in Greenville, North Carolina?
Fricklin?
Yeah, it's
Dowdy Fricklin?
It's actually Dowdy Ficklin.
No, Ficklin?
Yeah, it's Ficklin. You don't think Cincinnati can roll on in to Dowdy Fricklin and win big on the road?
That might not be the game. It's just something weird.
Well, you're worried about with Cincinnati is Houston the following week, which they could absolutely lose. I suppose they could lose to East Carolina. I don't want that to happen.
That number's only 14. Oh, okay.
Just the 14. Yeah. Just the 14.
Did you make your own card yesterday? You know, did you put it up, a little graphic in your own home?
I didn't.
Redemption Thursday
I said
graphic?
I would do it, and I didn't do it. What angers me about that is I would have had Ole Miss over Mississippi State. You know, I never know what to make of Leach, other than I would desperately not want him to be my coach the way that some of our fan base did. But so they go 7-5 at Mississippi State this year. They're 4-4 in the SEC, which is about what you can do.
That's
at Mississippi.
Good enough.
That's
yeah.
what it is. It is what it is. But does it bother you whenever you see? I mean, I watched Ole Miss last night run the same play. The same play. The eye candy, the motion to the edge, the quick game, over and over and over again. And Mississippi State had zero answers for the same play that was run from the first quarter to the fourth quarter. I'm like, what? Every now and then they throw the slant off of it. It looked like our offense in a way. I mean, they just would throw the slant off of this. They'd play the perimeter game. I was just like, this is ridiculous. Why can't you adjust? What are you doing? It was maddening. Now, look, I picked Ole Miss, so that's fine, but really strange to me. Just really, really strange.
But he'll rise up and win a game every year. We go, oh, okay.
Well, yeah, they beat Texas A&M.
Leach special.
They beat Texas A&M.
But it's convincing, you know? That's the thing. He'll do that.
Listen, that A&M team is littered with more talent than what Jimbo has, and they won that game, 26-22. That is ridiculous. That's the Jimbo game that every Florida State fan knows. We're like, oh, really?
No, he's had a couple of them this year.
Well, yeah.
They should have lost to Colorado.
Was that 6-0 or whatever the hell that turned out to be?
Awful.
Something strange like that. Yeah. It was awful. But that was the first game the new quarterback played. I'll give him a pass on that. But there's no excuse for losing the they won that game at Texas A&M, Tom. That was not at Mississippi State. That was there with all those losers in the stands. That's
well,
where that was.
That's the SEC. What are you? That could
be
anywhere.
Yeah, especially there.
Outside of Vandy.
That's especially there. Yeah, man. So really quickly, as a side note, because you had me thinking about it, yeah, he got a 24-10 win over NC State. That's an impressive win in retrospect. But they turned around and lost to Memphis. They lost to LSU. They turned around and beat Jimbo. They got blown the hell out by Alabama by 40. They killed Vandy. They beat Kentucky. They lost to Arkansas. They beat Auburn. They beat Tennessee State. And they just lost to Ole Miss. It's just a weird. I don't.
Well, it's all college football this year.
Mm.
It's just all mediocre. You got Georgia and then Alabama, maybe Ohio State. I know you. Hey, that's C.J. Stroud. Did you actually play that in your personal life?
Yeah, I did ages ago. Yeah, that was an easy
He's
one.
He's now -250 this week.
Oh no, it's if you didn't get in on it when I told you to, you no sense in doing it now. That was because you could see the schedule setting up and their passing game. They've got elite wide receivers. They've got three receivers that may go in the first round. I mean, I just looked at the rest of the Big Ten and I thought, okay, Ryan Day's a great coach. That's a talented kid. There's a real good chance they'll light up the numbers there, and if you don't get anybody running away with it, and Alabama hasn't, then you knew the numbers would be there. Now he's got to win today. Gordon, thank you so much. Is Lee coming on? If so, he has to take Florida. We don't need him to mess up the mojo on FSU games. Guys, thanks for the content. It allows me to feel like I'm still in Tallahassee. Go Noles. Thanks, Gordon. We appreciate it. Lee has the week off, unfortunately. I'll get him back in
soon
enough.
It was just brought to my attention this break. I was going to dial him up. Gordon, I'm devastated. I wanted to hear wrong teams favored.
Well, you know, I would have chided him, and I rarely do that because everybody gets wagers wrong. But I said that, you know, he was on the wrong side of the ledger there with the Florida State-BC game, and you know, guys, you got to track this stuff. Meaning FSU, I mean, come on now. You see that's a team improving every week. He just didn't buy in. I think there was a bitterness involved.
He was when I, you know, this is behind the scenes stuff. When he picked up, he's like, how's it going? I'm like, oh. Nope. You know, Lee, we don't give you a lot of razz. Not a ton of it, but you could tell that loss, it's still, there are some that linger, and it's not just rivalry games. You lose a rivalry game that way, oh my God.
Well, and I'll give you one better here. What's going to be interesting is Duke is going to get killed by Miami in all likelihood,
yeah.
And now what do they do?
They keep it to Manny.
So, I take it to beer. If they win that game going away, they will have won, what, 6 of 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're going to fire them.
And Rhett Lashley is going to go take the SMU job.
Which is great.
Yes,
get him out of there.
You get his ass out of there.
He's a good coordinator.
Take Tyler Van Dyke with you.
But I think it's fascinating. Like, I know that the Miami fans out there feel like it's a foregone conclusion because the athletic director got fired, that then Manny is going to get fired. But time is of the essence here, man.
Right, and they don't have anybody imminently to hire.
They don't have anybody in there to make the hire. So I don't think they're going to fire him. I think they're going to keep that dude. It cracks me up. I love it. Keep him.
Keep MannyDiaz.com.
Yeah. Sign him to an extension, a 5-year extension. Break the bank on him. It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Say I love you.
There's the first one. Yeah, we're allowed to do it. Libations Friday. Attention turned to Christmas and to Billy Squire season.
I heard you on Wednesday.
Yeah, I got it out there, buddy. It's about to be time for Squire season.
The poor people on War Chant TV, they're just never going to know.
It is a shame. That would get flagged, you think?
Oh, easily, yeah.
One of these times we should say, screw it, throw caution to the wind and do it and see what happens.
Oh, well, maybe on a different channel. Maybe we can patch up the old ESPN channel. Gene's not going to do that. They got shut down for a month once because the bots
a
got
a month?
Them. Yes, yes. So we ain't doing that.
No, I guess not. Ryan, I'll answer your question here, and I'll do it two ways. It'll be fun. All right, so he writes, did you ever answer what FSU does if Norvell goes 7-5, 8-4, 8-4? I took a work call that day and didn't go back to listen. Well, first of all, get your priorities straight, Ryan. Secondly, let's do this. You ready? So can't go, so you're talking starting
next year.
You're
probably,
starting next year.
Yeah.
All right. So if we agreed that the COVID season was a non-season in essence, and then we look at this year as year one, and it's a possible 6-6, 7-6 campaign. So he's starting next year. And if we agree, and you can disagree, and then therefore your expectations would be dramatically different than mine. But if you agree that the roster still needs quite a bit of work and that you're losing the best part about your team after this season, which is the front four. You're losing the front four, and that is a group that is better than good. I mean,
That's not ACC good. It's just good.
It's just good. And I would also say it's the second best, bordering on the first best in the ACC. Like Clemson's number one, and then us up front. Just the front four.
Yeah, maybe because of Clemson's interior players. But if you're talking about edge rushers, there's nobody better.
Right.
There's nobody better.
So there it is. Okay, so that's you're going to lose that.
In the ACC.
So you're going to take a step back. But you're improved in some other areas, including, it looks like, a quarterback that is starting to get better and better and better, and one would like to believe that you're going to infuse some talent on the edges at wide receiver, and then you throw in the mix that this offensive line is getting better as well, so you're kind of, yeah, all right.
Pretty much all back.
Where are we at? All right. A rare Libations Friday, Black Friday edition of W's and L's for 2022, Tom. Here we go. Let's go, buddy. Cue it up.
Wait a minute.
2022, W's and L's, a special treat.
You can give me all the time in the world. That thing got buried. We haven't.
During a holiday season.
All right.
We break it out of the woodwork. Here it comes. Fire it up.
W's. Wins.
All right. How you doing?
Losses.
Damn it! We lost! We f***ing super lost, man!
Where do we triumph? Where doth thou fall?
big 1-0 against Duquesne. A game that Florida State ought not ever play. It's embarrassing that we are. But okay.
Tate Rodemaker, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, that is a 1-0, August the 27th, whatever game. And then it's off to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the Superdome, whatever they, yeah, Mercedes-Benz Superdome. It's not the Atlanta one. Yeah, gotcha. New Orleans. That place is a piece of crap, by the way. It's a dump. The Superdome is.
Yeah.
It's unreal. Have you ever been there?
No, I've not been to New Orleans, man.
You and I are going,
it's going to happen.
Yep.
We're going to be at a casino.
I'll be there for several. Now, listen.
Can we do a few days of Biloxi leading up to
your first
the game?
Your first taste is going to be a humdinger because here's the thing. The game's on a Sunday. So we have to be. Yes.
Oh,
so we're going to be there on a Friday and a Saturday. Going to stay the night on a Sunday.
No.
Oh, buddy, Monday's going to be a toughie.
Oh, that's a Cat 5 personal maintain.
Well, we'll have a good time. I don't know. I don't even know who LSU's coach is going to be. If it's Billy Napier, that could be a problem.
So why did you do this?
Okay, I'm going to pick us to lose that game. We're 1-1.
We're winning that football game.
Okay. So I got 1-1. You got us 2-0.
That's right. Heady times.
Well, now we don't know the dates of anything else other than the other out-of-conference games that are in late November, like the one against Florida and Louisiana.
And the Raging Cajuns. Damn it.
I don't like that, but that's here. That's here. Mm-hmm. We'll win that game. We're going to win that game against the Humboldt. Yeah, we'll win that game. So we could just do out-of-conference games. Doak will host Florida. We'll win that game. It'll be a two-game win streak against them. So, all right, I got us out of conference at 3-1.
Okay, that's a good start.
All right.
Now you got to go on the road next year to NC State and to Louisville. Well, those are typically games that are fulcrum games.
Here we go.
All right.
BC here's a win. That's a 4. Again, no dates and times. We don't know. I'm just giving you wins and losses. Okay, so that's a win. That's 4. You got us 5-0, I guess, right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Championship.
Clemson here, that's a loss.
Yeah, they got to get it together, though. This offseason, well, listen.
They've scored 30 points or more in 3 straight games, and they're going to stomp South Carolina tomorrow. They're starting to get it together.
We'll see. Is Venable's still there?
I hope not. You never know. Anyhow, I got us losing that game, so I've now got us at 2 losses. Let's see.
Georgia, yeah, we lose that game.
All right, Georgia Tech, that's a win.
Win.
Wake here, win.
Wait, is Georgia Tech here or up there?
It was here. It's here. It wouldn't matter. They're terrible.
No, I'm just, roadies.
No.
Oh, spend some time with the family in the ATL.
No, it's here. Jeez. They can come down here. Wake here, revenge game. I don't know why I want to win that game so bad, but I do. Screw them. Mm-hmm. We're winning that game. Yeah, I got us winning that game. At Louisville.
Ooh. Malik Cunningham will be 42 years old.
A little bit of a toss-up if he doesn't have arthritis. That's tough, man. I don't know.
They regulated his meds. He's going to be ready to go.
Boy, I got us winning all over the place.
They've got a coach in the hot seat next year, though, don't they?
Have they had a good enough year? They've had a good enough year. I don't know. That's it. Damn, Tom. I don't know about that game. That's a 50-50.
Depends on when. Got to look at the surrounding games.
I'm struggling with that one.
Is that prior to Miami? We'll see.
Leary will be back at NC State. That's a road game. That's a loss. Maybe. I don't know.
If you've got like Syracuse, Georgia Tech, Louisville, then that game feels pretty good.
Yeah, and you do have Syracuse and the Carrier Dome, which I worry not about. You have Miami down there. Yeah, we have Miami down there. You know what? Here's answer number one. 8-4.
Okay. Could be. Yeah, I think the number's 7.5 next year. If you do what you're supposed to do in the portal, and you get – it doesn't have to be you have a proven commodity. It's just you do some work in the portal to bring in veterans to play on the D-line.
8-4.
Okay. That feels like real progress. Real progress.
Seth writes, you boys play blackjack. Hit or stay on 16 if dealer is showing 6A. I'm always a hit guy. There's no reference to – yeah, Biloxi comment. I hit. Whoa! Yeah, he meant to say 7. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do. The dealer says, what would you like to do, sir? I say, yeah. That's what I say.
Well, the key isn't whether or not you hit in that situation, but whether you decided before you sat down to place any wagers whatsoever, were you hitting on 16 or staying on 16?
Yeah.
You need to have a game plan and stick with it and be consistent. Mm-hmm. It's about consistency over
5,
time.
I'll stay. I suggest you hit, sir. I also like to live dangerously.
Oh, that's good. Hey, tomorrow when we do the pregame watch get-together and hang out, it's going to be powered by our friends at Xfinity. My internet at the house will be geared up and ready to roll. I know yours will, too, and we have no worry about whether or not it will be effective. It will be. High efficacy rate at the house with our friends at Xfinity.
And we're sending down a staff, man. There are 4 folks from War Chant that are going to be carrying the banner for warchant.com at the press box. It's an outdoor press box at Florida Field, which is always nice given where the game falls in the schedule for us. I'm sure that the media hates that in September. But, if they have Xfinity down there in that press box, then we'll be able to connect to them just fine to get updates from fieldside. Because remember, a couple of names that we're looking for tomorrow include Darius Washington. Is Darius Washington going to be okay? That's going to be the question on our minds tomorrow, among others,
as we vet this thing. 11 a.m. War Chant TV, but powered by the superfied internet. I just made that word up, of Xfinity.
Speedy. I did some recordings this morning with my Xfinity internet, and it worked out well. Did one with the college sports book to preview Alabama and Auburn, so that worked out well.
And if you're wondering, how do I get started? Get started by going to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today.
Yeah, Seth, you did mean 17, and I just read it literally as 7A or 6A or whatever you wrote, and I was like, what? But yes, 17, and I'm hitting if I see the dealer with 17, and I have 16, so I'm hitting in that situation. Now, I can be unorthodox in some ways,
right?
But that's not worth exploring.
Yeah,
here.
Some folks believe in momentum on the table.
No, oh, that's ridiculous. But that said,
you ever played Casino War?
Mm-mm.
It's a dumb idea.
It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Did not post Redemption Thursday picks this week for those in the chat asking about it. And if you're listening on 93.3 driving around wondering if that's true too. No, I did not. And it was because I have a soul and spent some time with the family eating Thanksgiving dinner and spending
breaking
a lot
news.
Of times. Yeah, I decided not to immerse myself in gambling outcomes yesterday. Although I did have some wagers yesterday, including Detroit +3 against the Bears. All right, Lions. The best part about that game, was the fact that I had Detroit +3. The Bears are driving. The question becomes whether or not they're going to score a touchdown or kick a field goal. But it's 3rd and 9, and the stupid-ass Lions can't get their personnel in, waste a timeout, and get called for a 5-yard penalty. So it's now 3rd and 4. Bears convert. Lions down to 1 timeout. I quickly do the math, as did Matt Nagy's dumbass, and realized you can take a knee on the next 3 plays, run the clock down to 1 second, kick a field goal, get the hell out of Dodge, and they did. Woo! That's a cover.
We had a buddy who had that number with Detroit, plus the under as well, which both things in that situation.
Yeah.
Once they got the first down, you never know, though. Sometimes coaches don't realize these things. In fact, it happens all the time.
Yeah, no, but he figured it out, of all people. And yet, oh, by
oh,
the way.
Oh, and celebrated like they won the Super Bowl.
Well, I know. It may very well have been his last game. But I do think, man, if you're Detroit, you've tried to defend, understandably, because he's passionate about his players, his team, the city, the whole deal. You've tried to defend your coach, but, man, that team is not well coached, and that was dumb. A lot of dumb stuff going on there in Detroit, hence the 0-10-1. But Detroit is like vying for all-time sorriest. It's like, remember the 0-16 season? Wasn't that long ago? So you should never be on the heels of having yet another winless season when you're the first to ever have a winless season in a 16-game season to begin with.
Well, also.
And now it's a 17-game season, and you could, yes.
How about Lucifer 9-11? Patino scoring a win over Alabama with the Gales.
Big win. Big win. I saw it last night and I cracked up laughing. There he was. I'm surprised he didn't invoke 9-11, but he did not.
Well, he's about to get another job just based on that win.
We'll see what they do the rest of the year.
I never want to leave New Rochelle. Yeah, I love Iona so much. It's in the shadow of New York City. All the skyscrapers. We're missing two of them. Did you know that?
There we go. Here we go. Yeah, easily. Should note that They're undefeated? Did I read that right?
Iona? Yeah, probably. 5-0, 6-0, something like that.
Look at them. Really quickly, because I did it and set
go
it up.
Go Gales. Go New visit newrochelle.com.
Rapid fire, because we're going to the second hour. But the following year's schedule for Florida State does feature a game in Blacksburg against Virginia Tech, which I'm excited about. And then also on that schedule is a game against LSU there in Orlando, which is most unfortunate. But we have Southern Miss North Alabama as you're at a conference there. So.
All right, that's better.
That's what you got. That's what you got.
Orlando.
I like traveling to Blacksburg. That'll be fun. We'll have a good time there with the Hokies.
We're out mini golfing in the pirate ship place. Which one? There's 90 of them.
We'll get to hear the turkeys. It'll be good.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Hour number two. Hang in.